Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from the words that we had heard earlier in the gospel, and also the words that follow that, the continuation of what Jesus says to them that Maundy Thursday. I'm just going to read some of those words. Jesus said, "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." Then his disciples said to him, "See, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is in me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I think one of the real joys of parenthood, especially being a father, is finding those wonderful occasions when you can really embarrass your children in public. A lot of fun. Now, they probably would tell you I've done that a lot. I really haven't. Nothing compared to my father with me. My father was the grand master of embarrassing me in public. You'd think as a pastor he would have done that from the pulpit, but he kept that down to a minimum. But his grand stage of embarrassment was a diner or a restaurant, especially on family trips. In fact, there was one entire trip to Canada where I refused to go into any restaurant with my father. If they wanted me to eat, they had to bring food out. And that was like for 2 weeks. Because what would invariably happen is we'd walk into a diner in the morning, and I would just pray silently to God, "Please, just have the lady say good morning." But, usually it was like, "Good morning, how are you doing?" "Oh, well, it's party time now." My father would tell her for 10 to 15 minutes how he was doing. And not that she even wanted to hear that. It was just embarrassing. Because she didn't care. I mean, if I go to the grocery store afterwards and go through the checkout line and the lady says, "How are you doing? Do you think she really wants to hear? Well, I have a headache, and my back kind of hurts a little bit, and I got this post-nasal drip. My nasal sinus cavities are, like, draining. She doesn't want to hear that, okay? She doesn't want to hear the whole truth. She just wants to hear me say, fine. Now, the disciples, on the other hand, want to hear the whole truth from Jesus. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear to them that they're not ready for that whole truth. I'll give you just a rundown of some of these verses in this text. You have, it starts with verses 12 through 15, where basically Jesus says, "You're not ready to hear the truth." And then he hits them with a little truth in verse 16. In 17 and 18, you see how confused they are about it. Verse 20 through 22, he gives them a little more truth. And 26 through 28, even more truth. Then the funny thing is, they say, "Hey, finally we understand exactly what you're saying." And Jesus ends up with verse 31 saying, "You have no idea what I just said." That's the truth for the disciples. Now, they want the whole truth as much as we want the whole truth from God. For example, the disciples 2,000 years ago wanted to know the truth about what is this leaving us and going to your Father. They wanted to know that. We want to know the opposite. When is Jesus leaving his Father and coming to get us? You see, it all comes to what defining really what Jesus means by truth in this text. Truth can kind of be a tricky thing in our world today. There are some, I think, universal truths. Water is wet. I think everybody universally agrees on that. 2 + 2 = 4. I think, believe it or not, there's a few people who are disagreeing with that. In fact, it seems like any objective universal truth is kind of falling away a little bit more every year. So people will go to many different areas for truth. Some will go to educational institutions like universities for truth. Well, you're going to hear one truth at this university and another truth at this one. Some people go to the media to find out their truth. Wow, I can't tell you how bad an idea that is, okay? I mean, back in the past, maybe things were better, I guess. But, I mean, I really have trouble believing anything I see or hear on TV or read in the newspaper. So that's really not helping. Then we say, well, just science, as if it's just this big thing called science. Well, science has changed over the years when we learn more things. And one scientist will say this, and another scientist will say that. So really, it's really hard to get to any objective truth. Everyone just kind of sees it as a very subjective thing. And the truth that we follow for today depends on who is the loudest and the angriest. And then we say, okay. Or we just give up on objective truth altogether and just say, well, this is my truth. Now, Christians have it a little different. All right, we do believe that there is a universal truth. It's God. God exists, and he is not us. And there's a truth that he created and maintains the universe. There's the truth that in love for us, he sent his son to die for our sin. There's a truth that the son sent the Holy Spirit to his apostles, a truth that the Holy Spirit gave truth to the apostles, and the truth that the apostles have shared that truth with all of mankind, apparently, until the very day we're at today. Throughout generation after generation, that truth has come to us. And that's great. But it's not the whole truth. And like the disciples, Jesus tells us, you can't handle it. But we want to know that whole truth. So for example, we'll look at the world around us, our own lives, and we see sin, and we see destruction, and we see chaos. At times, it's hard to see any evidence of God's presence or power in the world. And so we want to know the truth. And so we go to his word, which is truth. And we read in the book of Revelations, abundantly clear from that book, that Jesus is returning. We just don't know when. We don't get the whole truth given to us. I was doing a concordance study on the word truth throughout scriptures, and you know, this happens all the time when I do that. I'll come across a verse I never read before, and that does happen on occasion. This time it happened in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Now, this is when Moses and the children of Israel are in Midian. This is after 40 years in the wilderness, and they're just about to go into the promised land finally. And this is Moses' big goodbye because he's not going with them. And so, again, he renews the covenant with these people, between these people and God. He tells them about the blessings and curses. If you follow this, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. And then he says these words at the very end, in Deuteronomy, it's really easy to remember, chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things are hidden from us, that's true, but not the revealed truth. The revealed truth is for us, the revealed truth is for our children, and the revealed truth is forever. I think what Jesus says to his disciples here near the end is very, very important. He says these words, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He doesn't say, "In the truth you may have peace." He says, "In me you will have peace." In other words, the definition of truth is Jesus himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in that truth we have peace. And as much as we try to make Christianity or our faith Jesus plus something else or Jesus minus something else, he again makes it abundantly clear in this text, as he does throughout the Gospels, that all that is necessary is him alone for our peace. We may not know the entire mind of God, but we know that his mind is on us. We may not know what the future holds for us, but we know that Jesus holds our future in his hands. And we may not know when Jesus is returning to take us home, but we know that he is. And in that truth, we have peace. I was walking the dog this morning. I got hit with a little truth myself. As I was walking him, I walked by this car. It had a bumper sticker on it. And I'd never seen this one before. Kind of liked it. And it did make me think of other things. I think it's targeted towards tailgaters. And it said, "Do you follow Jesus this close?" I thought that was pretty good. Then I thought, you know, not really, because I think it's encouraging Christians to tailgate that person, right? I don't know. But I got to thinking about that and saying, okay, well, Yeah, but, okay, it's kind of focusing in the wrong area, all right? It's not about how close I follow Jesus, okay? Peace doesn't come from that. Thank goodness. Peace comes from the faith that allows us to see how close he is to us every day. His love, his compassion, his forgiveness. From him we have peace. In his name we pray. Amen.